Our three lessons this morning all talk about the same thing. It's going to be interesting. I hope in the Old Testament we got Abraham and his wife Sarah, and they're serving. The middle lesson is Paul, and he's talking about teaching. And then our sermon for this morning from Luke 10 talks about a pair of sisters and how they kind of split the difference between learning and teaching. Well, there's a very upset woman to try to contact her pastor. Only to discover it was his day off. She was not happy. The next day, in fact, she tore into him. Pastor, I needed you yesterday and you were not here for me. I am not happy. I can't believe you would take a day off when so many folks like me need you. And then she thought about it a little bit more and said, you know, Pastor, the devil never takes a day off. Woo. Well, the pastor, a bit irritated, and then with a bit of tongue-in-cheek responded, and if I didn't take a day off, I would be just like him, wouldn't I? I think he's got it. You know, in our techno-driven culture today where everything has to be instantaneous, we all crave and actually probably need to have some time off. Some break time to get away, or perhaps a quiet retreat from the hassles and hustles of our busy lives, which I'm sure we all have. As we read our lesson this morning from Luke 10, don't you wonder sometimes how Jesus kept with his never-ending schedule and demanding public requests? How did he do it? As far as we know, he never took what we would call an extended vacation. He didn't go down to Arizona or Florida or take a Caribbean cruise anywhere. He stuck with it his whole almost 3 years of public ministry. But we do know he did take some timeouts to get recharged, and that's kind of what we want to pick up a little bit on this morning. Now, one of the special places for his getaway wasn't at the beach, wasn't at the lake shore, but it was at a home of some dear friends. It was Martha and Mary, sisters, and their brother Lazarus. If you remember Lazarus, he's the guy who had died in 4 days in the tomb, body beginning to smell, and then Jesus came and brought him back to life. Pretty big deal, wasn't it? Well, that's the same guy that Jesus raised him from the dead. Well, these folks, these three, the two sisters and a brother, their home was located in a village, not a very big place, but it was just a stone's throw distance east of Jerusalem. It was a village named Bethany. Now, Jesus obviously liked it there because he kept going back. He was comfortable there. It was a place he could let his hair down, so to speak, and not have to be on. Well, in our gospel lesson this morning that Dave read for us moments ago from Luke 10, we get a glimpse into the home life, of both Martha and Mary. Now, what Jesus is doing as this story unfolds is repeating a theme of keeping life in balance. So as we hear this story again, kind of keep that thought in mind, going back to our Old Testament lesson with Abraham and the fatted calf and all the food, and then Paul's teaching. And what we're going to see, Jesus' repeated theme of keeping life in balance. A balance between work and worship. A balance between doing and listening. A balance between a faith that is active in doing loving things and a faith that's renewed by the Word of God. Now, when we look at these two sisters, we got Mary, and she's the type of gal whose default mindset was worship first. She's the kind of gal that said, you know, if there's a worship service next Wednesday, let's go to church. Or let's do some extended Bible study, kind of like our ladies' Bible study tomorrow night. Another plug for you gals if you want to get together. It's a great time. But if it's there, let's do it. That's the Mary thing. Or she'd say, you know, let's sing some great Christian songs from KTIS radio station or out of our Lutheran hymnal. Or she would, of course, say, let's pray about it. So in the story today, we see Mary, who has this default mindset of learning. We see her, quote, sitting at the feet of Jesus. You hear that before? Sure. We hear it quite often, and especially in regard to her. Now, to understand the significance of that, you got to get that in the Middle East, to, quote, sit at the feet of someone is actually a very great sign of respect. It's a symbolized discipleship. It was a posture assumed by the student in order to learn and receive from the teacher. You'll notice in our worship services, in Lutheran churches, we don't do things by accident, whether you think we do or not. It's not haphazard. And one of the things we do when we have our three lessons that Ethan and Dave read for us this morning, the first two, one was Old Testament and one was New Testament. And both of those have lessons to learn about how you live, what you do, Abraham and Sarah, and then Paul with his teaching. And therefore, you are seated during the reading of those two lessons every Sunday. But then when it's time for the gospel is always going to be either words of Jesus directly, a parable he told, a story about him, and then out of respect for the master himself, that's why we stand when the gospel is read. So, as we're seated, Mary was doing that too, and what was she saying about her attitude towards Jesus? Discipleship. She wanted to learn. Mary loved being at the feet of Jesus. In fact, every time we meet her in the scriptures, and you think about the stories that you know about her, every time we meet her, guess where we find her? At the feet of Jesus, in some fashion. Today, she's sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's the picture that we're looking at. She's listening to him speak. And how about just her brother, Lazarus? At the resurrection of Lazarus, her dead brother, you remember what she did in John 11? It says she fell down where? At the feet of Jesus, acknowledging him as the Lord of life and death. And then how about that time when we read about Jesus getting anointed, his feet? You know, anointing means to pour oil on. So gal pours oil on Jesus' feet and uses her hair to wipe it down. Guess who that is? It's Mary, John 12. Where Mary wipes the feet of Jesus with her hair. That's the exact quote. And why was she doing that at that particular anointing? Preparing Jesus for burial. She didn't know that, but that's what it turned out to be. So, what we see about Mary, she loved being at the feet of Jesus. Oh, she was a learner. And like the Apostle Paul in our second lesson this morning, her desire was to, as Paul said, know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. Is that a good thing? Yes, it is. Well, there's a story about Pastor Howie Childs, not our Howie, but a different Howie. And Pastor Childs was a retired minister. And he tells about the story how he learned to ice skate on a frozen pond in Michigan. See, in Michigan, you have to learn how to ice skate. In Minnesota, you're born with that knowledge. Well, Pastor Child and his son, they went out to the pond just before sundown, hoping no one would in the neighborhood or in his congregation would see them learning to skate because they knew it wasn't going to be pretty. So they kind of sneak out there. They drive the car practically to the edge of the ice. And Howie puts on his skates first while sitting in the front seat of the car. And when he's ready, he kind of hollers to the back seat, and his son said, "Hey, you ready to go?" Son said, "Okay, Dad, but you go first." And Howie thought, nuts. I guess I'm going to have to do this for my son's sake. I've set a good example and all that. So he's asking himself, okay, how do I get started? And maybe some of you who've learned to skate pushing the chair or somehow hanging on to a railing or the hand of someone. He figured, okay, that's how you do it, but he didn't have that. So I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll get out of the car and I'll kind of hold on to the side of the car and I will give myself a push. And he successfully pushed off from the car. But guess what happened? And you know how that goes. Whoosh, boom! His feet went out from under him, not gracefully, and he landed flat on his behind. Well, he tried to get up, and you ever tried to do that if you're just learning it? You're slipping and sliding and squirting all over the place, and his feet kept slipping and sliding every which way. No rails to grab onto, no chair to hang onto to pull himself up. But just then, guess what happened that he didn't want to happen? Sure enough, some of the neighborhood kids and some of the kids from his own congregation, they came by. And they had been watching Howie and his son struggling to get back on his feet. And finally, one of the kids that was in his confirmation class, said, "Pastor, if you want to stand up and skate, you first have to get on your knees." Boom. Well, the kid didn't know it. But actually, that's pretty profound. Great advice, first for learning how to skate. And it works, doesn't it? But secondly, it's not only good advice for ice skating, But it's also an important life lesson for every Christian to learn. And that's this. Before you stand up and look to serve and draw perhaps attention or just to do something gracious, you first have to get on your knees. Why? Because it's at the feet of Jesus that you'll learn what to say, how to act, what to do. It's at the feet of Jesus that we learn to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, Luke 10. Well, we go back to Mary. Where was she? She loved to learn. She was a lifelong learner, I would say. And she loved to sit at the feet of Jesus. She was listening to his words, just as Paul was talking about in our second lesson. In fact, Jesus said to her, kind of looks at her and said, Mary, you've chosen what's better. Ooh, doesn't that kind of make Martha smart a bit? She's out in the kitchen doing all this work and you go, rah, 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 rah. Little trouble brewing in the kitchen, right? Well, first part of this question for us this morning is, how are you doing at the feet of Jesus? You spending any time there? You learning anything? Hopefully with Bible class, with what we do here in church, you do some devotions at home and the different various study groups. Hopefully, you're sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary. Okay, two sisters, Mary and Martha. And if Mary was the worshiper, Martha was the doer in the family. Because, you see, if something needed to be done, Martha was your gal. If you drop by at their home unexpectedly, Martha was the one to grab you by the arm and kind of bring you into the kitchen, sit you around the kitchen table, pour you a cup of coffee, and find a cookie or some cheese and crackers in the cupboard. If Zion Lutheran Church is hosting a church dinner of some sort, guess who will be in the thick of it? Martha, of course. And I say, thank God for the Marthas in the church. And you folks know who you are. Not only am I thankful for you, but Pastor Krinke and Pastor Schultz and myself, we're all thankful for you. And for those who understand what's going on, we're grateful for the doing that you do. And I say, keep it up. Keep it up. Good job. Because if we didn't have any Marthas, nothing would get done. Because the Marthas are generally the movers and shakers in the church. It's the Marthas who probably teach the Sunday school classes and run the VBSs and deal with the human care needs and the outreach committee. They're out there doing, serving donuts, working at the laundromat ministry, all these different things that we do. They're the workers that us pastors depend on to get the job done around here. So, Martha expressed her love to the Lord how? By the things that she did. Is that a good thing? Sure, it is. In fact, the Bible says it this way. Don't be lazy, but work hard. Serve the Lord with all your heart. In fact, Jesus himself said in Matthew 20, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Working, serving in the name of Jesus. Good thing? Good thing. Mary, Martha, two sisters, personalities different, you betcha. Two different sets of gifts, you betcha. So here's the question. Which one of the sisters is the better Christian? Which one of the sisters is doing the right thing? Well, this is a question that some single guys in a men's Monday night Bible study group are discussing. And as guys do, they've got all the answers correctly when it comes to understanding women. Well, they were discussing the question, who would make the better wife? Was it a Martha or was it Mary? Well, one fellow said, well, you know, I think Martha would make the better wife. Because we know a man, the way to a man's heart's through his stomach. Sounds like Martha knew how to cook. I'd love to be married to a woman like that. Well, another young buck said, you know, I think Mary would make the better wife. I mean, she's always so thoughtful and sweet and loving. I could be very happily married to a woman like Mary. Finally, the third guy, a little more understanding, settled the argument when he said, well, you know, I'd like to be married to both of them. But that sounds bigamy, right? But nonetheless, that was his solution. Because he said, I'd like to be married to Martha before supper and Mary after supper. well, Mary and Martha, two sisters, but oh, so different. So again, the question, who's the better Christian? Trick question. If you're saying, well, that's not fair, you're right. It's a trick question. Because it's very clear throughout scriptures that both characteristics are needed and valued when used to God's glory. So what's the operative word in this entire discussion this morning? Simple. Balance. You do enough work to get the job done, keep the lights on, keep the food on the table, to keep all the things that need to be done in a home or a church. Do enough worship to keep God's truths, His values, His moral direction, especially in our culture today where morality is up for grabs, it seems. You can pretty much do what you want. It's not the way God wants it. To keep ourselves grounded and keep life in perspective, we need to do enough worship to do that. There was a little guy who went to visit Grandma's house. And while he was there, Grandma pulled out the game of Monopoly. I'm guessing most of you have played that. She spreads it out on the dining room table, and the two of them sat down and began playing Monopoly. Now, Grandma, she was a killer Monopoly player. She rolls the dice and started whipping around the board, buying up all the properties and accumulating huge sums of money. Unmercifully so. And within a short period of time, her grandson, he was slammed. He was done for. He was bankrupt. The game was over. Ooh, Grandma. Well, Eric asked Grandma, well, Grandma, you want to play again? And she said, son, you need to learn how to play the game first. When you've learned how to play the game, you come back and then we'll sit down and play. Well, that motivated little Eric. And so he decided, I'm going to take Grandma's challenge. He's going to learn to play the game. So he went home and he persuaded Mom to buy him a game of Monopoly. He asked Dad to read and explain the rules. And then he began playing the game, first all by his lonesome, but it gave him the opportunity to hone his skills. And then he played the game with his older sisters, till he could beat them. And then he played the game with Mom and Dad, boom, till he could beat them. He played the game with the neighbors till he could beat every one of them. Well, it didn't take too long before he knew the game backwards and forward. He was an ace. Picks up the telephone. Grandma, this is Eric. Are you ready? So over to Grandma's house he went, confident as all get out. And out came the Monopoly board. The dice began to roll. They both tear around the board, buying up everything in sight, accumulating property and money. And then suddenly, with one roll of the dice, the little guy got a big break. He landed on Broadway, and he buys the property. And then he buys the other properties there that accumulate wealth like none other. And in less than two others, Grandma bites the dust. Woo, wow. This little guy is kind of feeling pretty darn good. Grandma says, son, you've learned to play the game just as I asked you. I'm proud of you. You've learned it well. But now, you have to learn the toughest part of the game. Well, he looks all wide-eyed and a little surprised because he thought he had it all figured out. He looks at Grandma and says, what's that, Grandma? And she replied, the toughest lesson to learn about the game is this. When the game is over, it all goes back into the box. That's wisdom. Because that's life. You and me, whether we call it Monopoly or life in general, that's the way it goes. I mean, don't we, as a culture and individuals, we kind of run around playing this Monopoly game, so to speak. Busy making a living, and that's a good thing. Buying properties, that's fine if you can do it. Raising kids, a necessity for ourselves and for the future. Cooking the meals, I get hungry. Paying the bills, electric company, they like that. Grabbing lifestyles, doing vacations, doing things to help the neighborhood, be involved in the community, that's good. Saving and investing, of course. Serving in the church, a given. And yet, so often we forget the most important lesson of the game. And what is that? When the game is over, it all goes back into the box. Friends, when the life game is over for all of us, it comes down to what? Not how much you have, because we know you can't take it with you. But when life is over for each of us, it all comes down to this. Whom do you know? Do you know, my friends, Jesus? Is Jesus your Savior? Is he the one who died on that cross 2,000 years ago to pay for our sins that we might be forgiven and have the promise of life eternal? Because if he is, then thanks be to God. And that game going back in the box has a very happy ending. Last part of our text for this morning, as Jesus looks at Mary, he's actually talking to you and me as well. He says, "You have chosen the good portion, and," here we go, "it will not be taken from you." You're going to heaven if Christ is the Savior for you. We pray that it is. May God give us that healthy balance in our lives as we live to learn and to serve. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.